College Practical English Course
大学实用英语综合教程第三册
Unit 1 Part 1 Language Skills Development 1. Starter B. Listen to a story and fill in the blanks
Blessing or bane? Near China's northern borders lived a man well-versed in the practices of Taoism. His horse, for no reason at all, got into the territory of the northern tribes. Everyone commiserated with him. Perhaps this will soon turn out to be a blessing, said the man. After a few months, his horse came back, leading a fine horse from the north. Everyone congratulated him. Perhaps this will soon turn out to be a cause of misfortune, said the man. Since he was wealthy and kept good horses, his son became fond of riding and eventually broke his thigh bone falling from a horse. Everyone commiserated with him. Perhaps this will soon turn out to be a blessing, said the man. 1 year later, the northern tribes started a big invasion of the border regions. All able-bodied young men took up arms and fought against the invaders. And as a result, around the border, 9 out of 10 men died. This man's son did not join in the fighting because he was crippled. And so, both the boy and his father survived.
2. Text. The story of Steve Jobs.
This is the text of the commencement address by Steve Jobs, CEO of Apple Computer and of Pixar Animation Studios at Stanford University, delivered on June the 12th, 2005.
I am honored to be with you today at your commencement from one of the finest universities in the world. I never graduated from college. Truth be told, this is the closest I've ever gotten to a college graduation. I dropped out of Reed College after the first 6 months, but then stayed around as a drop-in for another 18 months or so before I really quit. So, why did I drop out? It started before I was born. My biological mother was a young, unwed college graduate student, and she decided to put me up for adoption. She felt very strongly that I should be adopted by college graduates, so everything was all set for me to be adopted at birth by a lawyer and his wife, except that when I popped out, they decided at the last minute that they really wanted a girl. So my parents, who were on a waiting list, got a call in the middle of the night asking, "We have an unexpected baby boy. Do you want him?" They said, "Of course." My biological mother later found out that my mother had never graduated from college and that my father had never graduated from high school. She refused to sign the final adoption papers. She only relented a few months later when my parents promised that I would someday go to college. This was the start in my life. And 17 years later, I did go to college, but I naively chose a college that was almost as expensive as Stanford, and all of my working-class parents' savings were being spent on my college tuition. After 6 months, I couldn't see the value in it. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, and no idea how college was going to help me figure it out. And here I was, spending all of the money my parents had saved their entire life. So I decided to drop out and trusted that it would all work out okay. It was pretty scary at the time, but looking back, it was one of the best decisions I ever made. The minute I dropped out, I could stop taking the required classes that didn't interest me, and begin dropping in on the ones that looked far more interesting. It wasn't all romantic. I didn't have a dorm room, so I slept on the floor in friends' rooms. I returned Coke bottles for the 5-cent deposits to buy food with, and I would walk the 7 miles across town every Sunday night to get one good meal a week at the Hare Krishna temple. I loved it, and much of what I stumbled into by following my curiosity and intuition turned out to be priceless later on. Let me give you one example. Reed College at that time offered perhaps the best calligraphy instruction in the country. Throughout the campus, every poster, every label on every drawer was beautifully hand-calligraphed. Because I had dropped out and didn't have to take the normal classes, I decided to take a calligraphy class to learn how to do this. I learned about serif and sans-serif typefaces, about varying the amount of space between different letter combinations, about what makes great typography great. It was beautiful, historical, artistically subtle, in a way that science can't capture, and I found it fascinating. None of this had even a hope of any practical application in my life. But 10 years later, when we were designing the first Macintosh computer, it all came back to me, and we designed it all into the Mac. It was the first computer with beautiful typography. If I had never dropped in on that single course in college, the Mac would have never had multiple typefaces or proportionally spaced fonts. And since Windows just copied the Mac, it's likely that no personal computer would have them. If I had never dropped out, I would have never dropped in on this calligraphy class, and personal computers might not have the wonderful typography that they do. Of course, it was impossible to connect the dots looking forward when I was in college, but it was very, very clear looking backwards 10 years later. Again, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something. Your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever. This approach has never let me down, and it has made all the difference in my life.
New words.
Commencement.
Animation.
Quit.
Biological.
Unwed.
Adoption.
Adopt.
Relent.
Naively.
Scary.
Stumble.
Intuition.
Calligraphy.
Calligraph.
Serif.
Sans serif.
Typeface.
Typography.
Historical.
Artistically.
Fascinating.
Proportionally.
Font.
Gut.
Destiny.
Karma.
Proper nouns.
Steve Jobs.
Stanford University.
Pixar Animation Studios.
Reed College.
Hare Krishna.
Macintosh.
Part 2. Language in use. 1. Dialogue. Computer repairs. A customer has bought a new computer, but she is having a lot of trouble with it. She is now calling computer technical support for help. Read and listen to the dialogue. Choose the best answer to each question according to the dialogue.
Hello, and thank you for calling computer technical support. How can I help you?
Yeah, I bought one of your laptop computers about 3 weeks ago, but it just isn't working properly.
Well, sorry to say, but your computer is no longer under warranty. It ran out yesterday.
What? A 3-week warranty?
Yes, I'm afraid so. What's the problem?
Well, first of all, the machine always freezes and has crashed at least a zillion times.
Madam.
And I think the computer's infected with spyware and the big banana Trojan virus. That's my biggest concern.
Madam.
And plus, there are a ton of pre-installed third-party applications that just clutter the computer. I'm at my wit's end trying to get this thing working.
Madam, I have to put you on hold.
What?
It's going to take us a minute or so to diagnose the problems. I'm going to transfer you to our technician.
Thank you for waiting. Your call is important to us. You are number 84 in the queue. Your approximate waiting time is 2 hours 17 minutes or whenever we get around to answering your call.
New words.
Warranty.
Zillion.
Clutter.
Queue.
2. Pair work. At the computer repair shop.
Reference answer.
Welcome, sir. How may I help you?
I bought a computer days ago, but it just isn't working right.
Is your computer still under warranty?
Yes. Here you are. It is a 6-month warranty.
Oh, good. It is valid. Then how is the computer working these days?
It's overheating and works in a funny way.
Well, I'll diagnose the problem. It will only take minutes.
10 minutes later.
It has a kind of Trojan virus. Have you installed the antivirus software?
Yes, I bought one at the street stall. It was cheap there.
Well, the software is cheap, but the damage it has caused is costly. It is wise to buy those authorized software.
Okay, thank you. 3. Text. A do-anything pen may change the face of computing.
At a conference in California yesterday, the audience of 500-some technology veterans watched in fascination as a company called LifeScribe introduced its brilliant invention, a pen. Well, not just a pen, a computer that looks like a pen. The pen does have ink and it makes lines on paper, but it also records a digital file of whatever you write, both text and sketches, by using an infrared camera to read a code of tiny, nearly invisible gray dots on the paper. It can also read barcodes. To make it work, you need to either buy a recycled paper notepad from LifeScribe or roll your own by downloading a graphics file that prints on most laser printers. It also records the sound around you and links it to what you were writing at the time. Tap the pen to that text again, it reads the little dots, and you get an audio playback from that time. As a journalist with lousy handwriting and no shorthand skills, I could use that. Just write an outline of what someone is saying in an interview and tap on the notes to hear again what the person said. That in itself would be very cool, but the LifeScribe folks have bigger plans. Here are some other things the pen can do. Create 3D audio files. The LifeScribe headphones include microphones, so you can record the sound exactly how and when it hits each of your ears. Play it back through any headphones, and you get the same effect as if you were hearing sounds around you. Create flash animations. Whatever you write or draw can be captured as a flash movie. Play it back and you see the drawings take form on your screen. Click on parts of the text in the animation and launch any linked items, such as web pages, audio files, or videos. Access commentary in a book. The pen works for reading as well as writing. As an example, LifeScribe showed me a Bible, printed on the special paper, where you can tap on words to get footnote-like commentary or hear pronunciations of the bizarre Old Testament names. Write an email. The pattern of dots on every sheet of paper is unique. So if you write on a specific piece of paper, the pen can use the dots not only to figure out what you wrote, but to figure out where you wrote it. Scratch a note on the back of someone's business card, for example, hook the pen up to your computer, and the software sends an email of your note to the card owner. Scratch a complaint out on the back page of a magazine, and you can automatically send a letter to the editor.
New words.
Veteran.
Fascination.
Sketch.
Infrared.
Invisible.
Recycle.
Notepad.
Graphics.
Laser.
Lousy.
Shorthand.
Commentary.
Footnote.
Scratch.
Hook.
Proper noun.
Old Testament.